This morning, as last week, the lesson comes from one area of text in the Bible, and it'll be found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. So if you've got your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, that's a good thing to bring anytime you come to worship the Lord. So I encourage you to bring that. And certainly as we go through sermons and lessons and text, I want you to read along. I want you to make sure that you're checking out what I'm saying. Make sure it's true. Don't trust me. You read the Bible. You study the Bible yourself so that you will be responsible for the truth. But Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28 gives us another lesson in an interaction between Christ and a woman. We talked last week about how rare that event was in Jewish society. You know, here again, we are looking at a situation where Christ is not only talking to a woman, but he's talking to a Gentile woman. And I think that it's interesting, you know, here he is in the midst of his ministry. Here he is going about and preaching and teaching to the Jewish people because that was his top priority. He leaves that priority even with his apostles later on. It's not that he never intended for it to get to the Gentiles. He absolutely intended for it to get to the Gentiles. I think by some respects, he knew that it would be easier received by the Gentiles than it was the Jews. So they put in more time with the Jews. Jews, for some reason, needed more convincing. They shouldn't have, but they did. And what's interesting to me is that every time that you see an interjection of a time in which Gentiles would become part of his ministry. The time before this, there was a centurion that came to him and out of faith requested something of him, just like this woman's going to request. And in that time and in this time and in all these times that these Gentiles come to Christ and are part of his ministry, it's interesting to me that their faith is greater than the Jews he talks to. In fact, their faith is greater than the very apostles that followed in his steps. And I think that probably should give us hope as well in realizing that, you know, there's likely not any of us Jews here this morning. We are Gentiles. Christ knew that we would readily accept his word. And our faith can be as great as some of the great men and women that we read about in the Bible, if we will allow it to be so. Here in verse 21, it says, "And Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan." Now that designates her a Gentile, okay? Not a Jewish woman, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now, there's a couple of things that I want to point out about what happens in this verse. One is that she addresses him as the son of David. A Gentile woman addresses Christ as the son of David. This shows us right here, she has knowledge about the law. She has heard the teachings of the Jews. And what's really interesting is she has some understanding of those teachings that the very people Jesus was teaching in Jewish society did not, or they denied. The very religious leaders of Christ's time, the ones that everyone was looking up to and listening to the old law being interpreted and explained by, these men denied the very thing that this woman has acknowledged. Jewish leaders could be taught by a simple Gentile woman here. Son of David was a designation to be given to the Messiah,
Do you understand the significance of that? She was one who had heard the old law and had put two and two together and realized this is the Messiah. She had come to a realization and a knowledge that most of the Jews Jesus preached to had not arrived at. Maybe even His very own apostles at this point would have difficulty with that. She addresses Him as the Son of David. You are the Messiah. Now, where do you go when you're hurting? Where do you go when you're afflicted? Where do you go when you need something that modern day skills and abilities can't provide you? Where do you go for a higher source of power? You know, I've already told you, one of my favorite songs is not even in this book that we sing out of. One of my favorite songs is, "Where could I go but to the Lord?" Where's this woman going? This woman's hurting. She's got pain. You know what? It's painful to watch somebody you love suffer, isn't it? It's a painful situation. We always talk about those who are suffering and we concentrate on those who are suffering. Sometimes we leave out those associated with those close family members. I had a dear, sweet sister in Purcell, Oklahoma, whose husband had reached a point to where he had developed Alzheimer's. And, you know, everybody, he was well-loved, and he was an old coach in the community, is well-loved, well-known. There were lots of people coming by, you know, visiting with him and talking to her. And they would say, "Oh, you know, poor old Bob, it's terrible that he's going through this situation. Poor old Bob, it just hurts to have to see him this way." And she told me one time, she said, "You know, Dennis," she said, "everybody's coming around and they're saying, poor Bob, poor Bob, poor Bob." She says, "Bob wakes up in a new world every day." She says, "I'm the one that's hurting. I'm the one that's having to watch him fail. I'm the one that's having to watch my loved one drift away from me and everybody else." It hurts to watch someone else suffer. This woman had watched a loved one suffer. Suffer something that you and I have no idea what it was about. Demon possession. But you know what? We do watch these processes of dementia and Alzheimer's take over life. It's a big part of our society. It's a big part of our world now, isn't it? Probably most every one of us knows someone in those situations and has experienced folks in those situations. And you know, those things cause someone's mind not to be their own. Their mind is slipping. Their mind is not as it was. Sometimes they don't even recognize those who were close to them and those that they love. And when we think about demon possession, we're probably not far from that. A demon possession that would take over a body and not cause their actions to be their own. And if you're a loved one having to sit back and watch this happening, especially if you're a mother having to watch a daughter experience a possession of her body in which she could not control it. She was not in control of her own. It would hurt because you couldn't do anything about it. And you know, those helpless situations in life where we see things going on around us, we see our loved ones suffering, and we can't do anything about it. And I know as Christians we can pray, and that's doing something. But still, there's that sense of helplessness there. Where do we go? Where do we go in those times? Who do we seek? You know, a lot of us, we seek doctors, we seek professional advice, we seek physicians. Sometimes we lean on each other. But there is no greater source that we can go to or find than God Himself.
Jesus Christ. And so it is that here's where she's going. Her faith, even though she's a Gentile woman, her faith in what she knows has led her to Jesus Christ. I wish so many more people in the world today would make that journey. Because I believe that there are those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, but maybe they haven't got to the point that this woman is in to actually seek Him with all their hearts. That's where she's at. Seeking Christ with all of her heart. But look at verse 23. But He answered her not a word. Was Jesus being mean? Was He being insensitive? There's going to be a couple occasions here where you're going to question that, but I think you know He wasn't. But He doesn't say a word. He ignores her. And because He ignores her, it encourages His apostles to do something here. Look at what they do. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Have you ever been brokenhearted and had somebody say something really mean to you? Doesn't that just tear you up? Doesn't it make you hurt inside? Sometimes we can be so cruel in what we say to others. Sometimes we can be so cruel in what we do to others. Here was Jesus' very own, the text calls it disciples, very likely His apostles, the men who were going to lead the church of the future. And whenever He doesn't answer her, they look and they see this hurting woman who has come to their Savior, their Master, asking and requesting something of Him that they know He can give her. They've seen it happen before. They know He's got the power. But instead, they say, "Send her away." Why is this woman following around? She's a Gentile. There's that good old Jewish prejudice and discrimination. We're better than everybody else, and we're certainly better than these Gentiles. Send her away. And Christ answers nothing. What's going on there? Look at what He says in the next verse. But He answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That almost sounds cold. Now again, if you're just watching this and you don't have any knowledge, you don't have the knowledge we have today, if you're just a bystander and you're watching this take place, or even one of His apostles, and He hadn't said anything to her, He's heard His apostles' requests, and then He answers back by saying, "You're not the people I've come to. I haven't been sent to you. I've been sent to the Jews." That sounds harsh. It sounds like He's saying, "Get out of here." And you know what? If we're in a situation where we're hurt, I try to put myself in that situation. Whenever I was studying this and I was looking at this, I thought to myself, what would I do if I was that woman? There's a lot of reactions, isn't there? You could get really mad and angry and say something mean back. That used to be me years ago. But I've kind of crossed that stage. Now, I would have probably just left. Tore up, hurt, ashamed, felt unwanted, felt rejected. But Christ said it anyway. Why did He do that? You know, His apostles looked at this woman and saw a nuisance. But
But as we're going to see, the master teacher, Jesus Christ, he looks at her and sees an object lesson. You know what an object lesson is? That's where you take an object and you use it as an illustration to prove a very good point to teach somebody by. This woman's going to be an object lesson. Jesus had the ability that you and I don't have. He had the ability to look past the skin and the clothes and the actions, the outward actions of people, and he had the ability to see the heart. And he saw within this woman, probably before she ever spoke up her request, he saw a woman of great faith, a woman whose faith was greater than the very men who he was calling apostles who were around him. He wasn't trying to get rid of her. He's trying to get rid of a really bad attitude his apostles had. A really bad perception that we've got to be careful of today, folks. You know, sometimes, and I don't see it in this congregation. I hope I never see it in this congregation. But I have seen this attitude in congregations. The attitude of, we're better than everybody else. Maybe we're more highly educated than everybody else. Maybe we have more money than everybody else. Or maybe we just think that because we're Christians, we're better than all the sinners. We want to separate ourselves from those sinners. Those souls that we're supposed to be saving, the souls that we're supposed to be planting seeds in, you know, they're below us. You know, we've got our own group. We'll stick together. That's kind of the attitude the apostles had. We've got our own little clique here. You know, we're talking to the Jews. They're better than the Gentiles. Certainly better than sinners. You know, and here we are. We're apostles. We're right-hand men to the man, to the master himself. We're beyond the needs of this woman, this Gentile woman. But Jesus knew that that was an attitude that needed to be erased, because that doesn't fit in his church. Doesn't fit in his kingdom. Doesn't fit with his true disciples. So verse 25, she answers back. You know, and here's one of the great things I love about this woman. And I know Jesus saw this as well. Like I said, I think I would have just walked away. My weakness, my hurt would have caused me to walk away. And think, well, maybe he really isn't all that I thought he was. But she didn't do that, because her faith was greater than the faith I would have. She stayed around and listened to her response. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know, the first approach came with a request. She acknowledged him as the Messiah. She acknowledged the power that was within him. She acknowledged the status that was within him. But that was rejected. So now what do you do? Well, if you really want something, you get down on your knees and you start begging, right? We don't get down on our knees for prayer anymore, do we? You know, they used to actually do that. People used to get down on their knees and humble themselves before God, realizing who they were coming before whenever they would go and ask something. But I don't know what's happened with that over the years. Here was a woman who was begging, worshiping, realizing her status against Christ's status, worshiping Christ, but pleading for his help. So is he going to give her the help? Look at the next response. But he answered and said, is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs? See, a lot of us here today,
We might think, well, that's kind of cute, little dogs. Back in that time, that was about the biggest insult you could call somebody. I know it's hard for us to believe in our society today, but dogs were actually repulsive animals back in that culture and time. You called somebody a dog, you have called them about the lowest thing that you can call somebody. It's coming from Jesus. You know, basically what he's saying is, you know, I've come to give this to the Jews. You're not worthy. Gentiles are not worthy. Now again, he knows their heart. He's getting ready to teach a great lesson. Something his apostles needed to see. So don't be thinking he's being cold. Don't be thinking he's insensitive. Don't be thinking he's being unjust. You know, again, if we have been there, not knowing what we know, maybe we think that. And he would have been righteous in the eyes of the Jews. That's the sad thing about the whole ordeal. But he throws this out because she's getting ready to say something. Christ knew what her response would be. She's getting ready to actually teach the apostles something they needed to know. This lowly Gentile woman who was pleading for her daughter's life is about to teach those high apostles. Her response. And she said, "Yes, Lord." And notice the fact she's not griping. She's not complaining. She's not firing back in a mad way. She's not being a smart aleck. But with humility, she says, "Yes, Lord." "Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You know, I can certainly see why Christ said what he said in the next verse. Do you understand what this woman is saying? You know, here she stands in judgment in front of these apostles who wanted her to get out of there. "Get away from us. You're a nuisance." But this woman stood before Christ humbly. This woman pleaded, begged with Christ. This woman showed her humility and her faith by remaining there in front of Christ. This woman showed her love for her daughter in not turning away, not running away, not walking away. And what's interesting to me is that we are told that throughout the course of Christ's ministry, some of these very own apostles that were likely standing with Jesus at this time, some of them asked Christ if they could sit on his right hand and his left hand. What does that say about them? They thought they were pretty important. They thought they were higher than what a lot of people were. Because they ministered with Christ. We deserve to be high in the kingdom. You know, a couple of them even had mama come plead their case. That would have been embarrassing. I'm telling you right now, I remember back in the days in high school, I had a dad that just, my dad loves to talk. My dad, you know, he missed his calling. He'd have made a good preacher because he knows how to just make conversation out of nothing. He could go carry a conversation on with a fence post and be comfortable with it. You know, he just talks and he talks. So he would come up to practices to pick me up in basketball. And as coach is still coaching, he would go over there and start talking to the coach. Well, you have to understand, back in those days, if mama or daddy was talking to the coach, then everybody else thought, "Oh, brown nosers." You know, they're trying to get their son to get to play over somebody else. It was embarrassing. You didn't want mama and daddy talking to to coach. You didn't want mom and daddy talking to your teacher. You didn't want mom and daddy trying to do anything like that. God bless mom and daddies. They have well intentions. But you remember, James and John's mama came to Christ and said, "Will you set my boys up in your kingdom?" Remember that? This woman looks at Christ, and I'm going to paraphrase this so we can understand it. "I don't want the kingdom. I'm not asking to be set high in the kingdom. I'm not asking for some earth-shaking miracle to take place. I'm not asking for you to even sit down and visit with me for a long time and show me some attention. All I want is just a little crumb. Just a little crumb." And you know what's really exciting about what she says? It's the same attitude that we have to have whenever we come to Jesus Christ. And you know what happens whenever we come to Christ with that attitude? You understand that James is the one who says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." When we come to Christ, as I have, I don't know how many times, and I have said, "Jesus, I am not worthy of the great sacrifice you have given. God, I am not worthy of the blessings you bless me with in life. God, I am not worthy of the love that you continue to show me. I am not worthy of the heaven that you are setting aside for me to live with you for the rest of eternity. I'm not worthy of those things. All I want is just a little crumb." The way I kind of explain that, there are some people that believe in various degrees of heaven and various degrees of hell and all that kind of stuff. I don't care. I don't care if I have a chair setting up next to the stage where God's going to be, or if He gives me a broom and sticks me in the corner and says, "Sweep it here." That's a crumb for me. I'll be just as happy with it. Just give me a crumb. But the glorious thing about that is, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they're not satisfied with just giving us a crumb, are they? We ask for a crumb. Here we are. We're just sinners. We can't do anything about our situation. Just give me a crumb. And God sent His only begotten Son to the cross and gave us His life. And then said, "Here, if you will accept my Son and you will obey my Son and you will follow my plan of salvation, I'm going to make you a son. I'm going to make you a daughter. I'm going to give you a palace with me someday for the rest of eternity." How's that for a crumb? He didn't just give us a crumb, did He? He gave us the whole bread factory. Because that's what kind of God we serve. This woman must have sensed that in Christ. She was just asking for a crumb. Look at the response of Christ. And I think this is the same way Christ responds to you and I today whenever we stand up for Him. Whenever we seek Him with all of our hearts. Whenever we come to Him on our knees in humility and say, "Lord, just give me a crumb." I think this is how He responds. Verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." See, Jesus was teaching a lesson. Jesus knew the faith in this woman's heart. I wonder today, as we go about life, whenever you go to Walmart and you go through the checkout line, And you carry on that little small talk conversation with the cashier, because almost every cashier in there will start a conversation with you. And they'll carry on that conversation with you if you really want to and if you encourage it. Whenever you go somewhere and you sit down and somebody gets talkative with you, I wonder, are we willing to share the crumbs we have with the little dogs around us? Because brothers and sisters, at one point, we were those little dogs. But now, Christ has made us brothers to Him. We didn't deserve that, but neither do all the other people in the world. Shouldn't they have a part of that loaf of bread that you and I get to share every day of our life? Christ loves us. Of that I have no doubt. And of that you have no doubt, or you wouldn't be here today to worship Him and serve Him. But if He loves us because of our small degree of faith, will He not love us even more when we show greater faith? And I wonder, is He using us to teach others like He did this woman? I think He is. I think when we go carry on these conversations with other people in the community, I think Christ is opening up a door and saying, okay, I'm going to use you here. But the thing is, we got to be willing to be used. Are we? Are we excited about our faith? Are we excited about our crumbs that have been thrown our way? Are we excited about our salvation and the love that Jesus Christ has shown for us? If we are, we should be an object lesson to everybody we get around. Sometimes I'm ashamed, because sometimes I'll get around people in everyday life and I'll talk to them about the weather, and I'll talk to them about things going on in the community, and I'll talk to them about politics. And sometimes they're the first ones to bring up religion. Shouldn't I be the first one to do that? But we get so afraid that we're going to scare somebody off, aren't we? Sometimes we need to be looking for those people that won't scare off. And we don't know who those people are until we take the first initiative to bring a crumb to them. Christ knew this woman wasn't going to scare easy. Instead, she was going to stay around and teach His very own apostles an important lesson. What kind of lessons are we learning from Christ? What kind of lessons are we learning from this woman this morning? What kind of lessons are we teaching others by the life that we live? I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I'm so thankful for these stories and events that happen in Christ's life, because they give me faith. They give me strength. They give me hope. And I hope they do the same for you. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you know that the plan of salvation